We're going to be in Luke chapter 19, focusing on verses 1 through 9. While y'all are flipping there, I'd just like to tell about my relationship with Green Mountain Baptist Church. I was stuck at a point about 8 months to a year ago where I couldn't figure out how to pay my tuition. And one day going eagerly to the mailbox, praying earnestly and fervently for maybe God's provision through it all, I got a check from Green Mountain Baptist Church. And just so happens to be from, it was for the right amount. And so he got me through it by the grace of God, but used this church to help me out. Let's read. "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he has gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." Let's pray. Father God, I just pray for the illumination of the Scriptures. I pray that it wouldn't be my words that was spoken today, but it would be yours. I pray that I would decrease and you could increase within me, Father. I pray that if there's one here that's lost this morning, I pray that they would see your glory and ultimately see their sinfulness. I pray for new life this morning. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. I heard a story about 6 months ago, a little illustration, and it's a true story. A young girl about 11 or 12 years old had been swimming in the Columbian River. Onlookers say that she kept going further out and the rapids were strong. She began to get panicked and she approached, there was this 40-foot buoy in the water. And so one of the onlookers happened to be a petty officer in the Coast Guard. And so he jumped in and grabbed the girl and held on with the one arm to this buoy. And so the news crews came after, and one thing they asked was, what were you thinking when you jumped into the water? What were you thinking? You could have died. And it seems like anybody in this field, they seem to say the same thing. I was just doing my job. It was a mission of mine to get this girl out of the water. And so just as I think about that, I can relate. Coming to the holiday season right after Christmas, we go into the new year, and something that happens every year for the new year is we start making resolutions, and we want to figure out what we can cut out of our diets and how we can lose weight. And I think Sears gains so much by this because they put their treadmills on sale, and so you have something like a treadmill, and shoppers are going out to get this thing, and you're so focused, and you're mission is intentional of losing weight, cutting calories, taking things out of your diet. And what happens about 3 weeks into the new year? All of a sudden, this treadmill becomes a catch-all. Clothes are folded. There's papers amongst everything. And so I look at it and I think our mission was good and it was intentional. But we're fallible. We're not God. We're not perfect. But it gives me great comfort to go to the Scriptures, God's infallible Word. And I can look on and I can say, wow, you are perfect. So today, this morning, I really want to focus on the aspects that we see in the intentional mission. If you're writing down, the title of this is called The Aspects of the Son with the Sinner. The first aspect that we see is found in verse 5. Jesus intentionally sought the sinner. Going back to verse 5, it said, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house." So let's talk about that first of all, because there's a great significance and importance in the fact that this was the chief tax collector. Okay, how they made their living. The Roman Empire had a certain amount that you would have to tax. And above whatever that amount was what the tax collector lived on. And so we see Zacchaeus, and he was the chief tax collector. He was probably pretty wealthy. So I have a feeling that he was probably hated because he was taking the money of the people. I can relate to Zacchaeus because I'm short. There's no lying in that. And so I think about the Halloween Day Parade. And if I get there late and I stand at the back for so long, someone's going to look back and notice that I'm short. And so they're going to say, "Oh, come on, come on up, come to the front. It's not going to bother me. I can still see over you." But notice how Zacchaeus had to climb into a sycamore tree because he couldn't see. No one wanted to get him into the front. I can imagine them just standing there looking back, almost snickering. Like, you're not going to see this Jesus fellow that we've all heard about. But luckily, Jesus' mission was intentional. God pursues the sinner. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, it says, "Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with that person, and they with me." The Scriptures tell us that He knows the number of hairs that are on our head. In John, we give an account of that Jesus was actually in the beginning. All things were created through Jesus. God pursues the sinner. One of the great stories of the Bible, I think about the woman at the well found in John chapter 4. I think starting with verse 6. Let me read a little bit of that. "Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." Now, I'm not going to go through the whole story there, but this woman was drawing water at a weird hour, okay? You got to remember that this is kind of the desert around this part. That she's going to Jacob's well, so she probably has to walk. She doesn't have a Ford. She doesn't have the luxuries that we do today. So she was walking, and no one was at the well. Why? Because nobody wanted to draw water, walk to this well when the sun was shining. It was usually found that the person would draw water in the morning or at night when the sun was going down. But she was walking basically in the afternoon. Why is that? Well, because she had been having adulterous relationships. Because people looked on to her and looked down at her. Because she couldn't be associated with some of the people. And if I'm correct, I don't remember exactly what scripture reference it is, but in the Old Testament, it's found that she was actually, she could have died for this, for having an adulterous relationship. She could have been stoned for this. But God, in His grace and in His mercy, pursued the sinner and said, you know what? Draw me some water. That's what God does. God extends His grace and His mercy, and it's sufficient for all. So not only does God pursue the sinner, but God calls the sinner. I ultimately go through my mind and think about the story of Saul. Saul was a man, he was a killer of the Christians. Christians feared him. They didn't want to be around him. When he was around, Christians fled. And so on the road to Damascus, Jesus, God blinds him and shows him His glory. And so for 2 or 3 days he's blinded and he's kept up in this hut. And Ananias, a man of God, is told to go to Straight Street and to witness pretty much to Saul. And then the rest of the New Testament, really, we see Paul and how he was zealous for the gospel. He was zealous to change lives. And this was happened because God showed His glory. So not only do I think about that, but I think about my own life and how on November 14th, 2010, I was drastically changed just dropping out of a college in Ohio and moving back home where I would work at a bottle redemption for $7 an hour. And it wasn't a good spot I was in. And I remember my brother telling me about this Jesus character, and I was getting offended because I heard that I was a sinner and I heard I needed a Savior, and I didn't understand anything of this. But my brother was persistent and God drew me in, and eventually, November 14th, 2010, He called me to salvation. So I pray today as we go on further, I pray you would check your own hearts to see if that call has been upon your life, if you have actually been called to salvation, or maybe you're here, you're not here by chance. God is drawing you in, drawing you near. So maybe today is the day that you need to receive that calling upon your life of salvation. Not only do we see that Jesus intentionally sought the sinner, but the next aspect that we see with the intentional mission is that Jesus intentionally showed His lordship. This is also found 5 through verse 8. The latter part of verse 5 says, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all murmured, saying that he was gone to be the guest with a man that is a sinner. Wow. Jesus, our perfect God, who created all things and shows His glory, came to be with a sinner. That's what He did. He left the riches of glory. He left the riches of heaven to come down, dwell in a fallen world, in a fallen land, to show His lordship. And I love the Sunday school message this morning, how He said, I am the bread of life. In that, you see His lordship. An encounter with God will have some grumble. Notice how all the other people looking on, the onlookers, were saying, Jesus has gone in to be a guest with a sinner? With the chief tax collector? What is this? He's obviously not God because He wouldn't do this, because the God I think about in my mind is all holy, all knowing, and He stands above everyone. He wouldn't come down to be so lowly. Can I say what that is? That's legalism. I love the fact that I love the fact that here at Green Mountain Baptist Church, there's a ministry that you guys would go in to the correctional facilities to witness And I think you guys have really captured the fact that grace extends and abounds. That the people in jail are no different than a lost person living in a mansion. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Wow. An encounter with God will have some grumble, but not only that, an encounter with God will change lives. One of your greatest attributes as a Christian is your testimony. What is your testimony exactly? It's how God changed your life. It's how you can say to someone, I was living this way. I was in this sin. I had this addiction. And God revealed that to me and revealed His glory. And I acknowledged His lordship. And I turned from my sin. I turned from my wickedness. And I accepted Jesus as my Lord and as my Savior. And encountered God will change lives. Also, I think about Moses. Little old Moses who had a speech problem in the Old Testament. How God came to him and how God revealed Himself. And I can remember in Scripture where it says that he actually took off his shoes. Because it was holy ground. I also think about Isaiah. I believe it's Isaiah chapter 6. Where he says, woe is me, I'm a man of unclean lips. But you know what God does? God changed his life. If you let him this morning, he'll change yours. So not only does Jesus intentionally seek the sinner, and not only does Jesus intentionally show his lordship, but lastly, Jesus intentionally shared his mission. This is found in verses 9 and 10. It says, and Jesus said unto him, this day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. God reveals his game plan here. This is huge. And what is his plan? What is his mission? What is his game plan? It's to seek and to save. And that's what you're getting all through Scripture. Is Jesus walking by people getting a glimpse of him and turning from their wickedness? I can think about the story of the woman who had the 12-year-old problem, who had a physical ailment. And to everyone else, to the legalistic people of the day, to the Pharisees, to the Sadducees, she wasn't supposed to be around someone like Jesus. She was supposed to announce herself when she came into a place. But she saw Jesus walking by and she probably heard about what he had been doing. And so she mustered up enough faith to go and touch the hem of his garment. And it's funny how a 12-year-old problem can be healed so quickly. And how Jesus, with one word, changed that girl's life forever. God reveals His plan, not only that, but God refines the person. Because Zacchaeus saw His holiness, we see a little bit of repentance in the Scripture. Notice how Zacchaeus says, if I have harmed anybody, if I have insulted anybody, if I have done something wrong, I restore it fourfold. This is the chief tax collector saying, I repent and I'm turning from my wickedness. Before you can be refined by Jesus. You need to be saved by Him. Because refining also takes the name of sanctification, and that's what happens after you are saved. For the rest of your life, you being molded to look more and more like Jesus. The most godliest man that I think I've ever been in contact with, his name was Dr. Thad Daddle, and he was a teacher. He's probably 85 years old, and he was saved when he was a young boy. And it was a blessing for me to sit under him. But one of the things that he said was, after so many years of being saved, he said, I thought Jesus was going to get the fine sandpaper out. But he's still taking chunks and chunks and chunks out of me. Guys, as we close today, allow us to look at our own lives. Allow us to see, number one, are we saved? Do we have that relationship with Jesus Christ? But then number two, where are you at in your sanctification process? Where are you in the refining and molding process? So as we close today, before I pray, and if Eugene wants to come and say anything, he's more than welcome to, I just want us to let's take a minute, a moment, and not look around and say, oh, you know, that person needs to be saved. Oh, that person needs to be refined. But look in your own heart and say, Jesus, what are you doing in my life? How are you working through me right now? Guys, I pray for repentance this morning. Let's take a minute. Father God, we thank You that we can gather here today. We thank You that we can worship You. Father God, I just pray that we could look at our own hearts, at our own lives, at the examples as Christians that we're living out in a dark world. Father, and I ask that You would refine us this morning, that You would mold us to look more and more like Your Son that hung on a cross 2,000 years ago for our sins. Father, we pray for the pastor. We pray for comfort and for guidance through this event that has happened. Father, but we are encouraged to know that His Father is with You in heaven, worshiping you. And there's no more sickness, no more ailments, no more infectious disease. There's no more tears, but I can envision laughter. And I can envision worship and praise. Father, if one here is lost, I pray that You would allow them to see Your holiness and Your glory this morning. I pray that they would ultimately see their sinfulness, their wickedness. And I pray that they would turn from that. They would receive Jesus as His Lord and Savior. That they would want a relationship with You. Father, as we go now, I pray for safety and guidance. And allow the lost to interact with us this week so we can be a light in a dark world. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.